o'clock, 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. discussion of philosophy at my house. In the ancient world, hope was always an endangered species. The various gods of the ancient world offered so little hope for the living left behind at the death of a loved one. Some offered a hope of a relatively painless existence in some shadowy underland. Some offered absorption into some apersonal whole. Some offered a recycling program in which the soul came back as somebody else, but without memories and self-identity. To a philosopher or theologian of the time, these worldviews would have been interesting and intriguing and might have offered important insights into the world. But as soon as that theologian became a bereaved father whose heart ached and wailed to hold his beloved daughter alive in his arms again, they would have seemed as empty and as useless as yesterday's shadow. Modern systems are not radically better, living on in the memories of others, through one's writings, or in one's impact on the lives of others, also wonderful and precious gifts those are. But they're still metaphors of compromise and acquiescence. But there was one strange group in the ancient world, a nation of escaped slaves, whose God would not allow them to accept such compromises with death. His messengers and prophets constantly confronted his people with a unique message. Do not accept these substitutes. Do not settle for less. Do not compromise with death to the point of redefining life. Look up. Hope for real immortality. Hope to see your loved ones in a new body with the same smiles and the shared memories. Hope to feast with them again and laugh with them again and dance with them again. Hope to hug them and kiss them and tell them you love them again. Do not despair of the paradise of the stories of those oldest among you. It was real and will be yet real again. Do not settle for anything less than resurrection from the dead. I will find a way, though it shred my own heart with anguish and pain and cost me what is dearest to me to make this happen for you. I will reach my hand of intense life itself. If immortality's very definition of renewal forces greater than death into your history. And all you have to do is reach out and touch your little mortal finger to mine. And immortal life will flow from me to you. A spark of my life will remain in your heart and produce renewal and joy and love and peace and second childhoods and fresh starts and second chances, and comfort, and kindness, and dancing in your life today. And at the beginning of my future, it will burst into immortal and incandescent flame forever and ever. And lest I terrify you with this powerful hand of life, I will put a face on it, a face like yours, a face of sorrows and a face of joys, no face of power, but a face of love. You will know it by its life in itself, its gentleness and humility, its challenge to evil, its refusal to compromise with death, deceit, or apathy, its solidarity with the needy, the non-arrogant, open-hearted people of no hope, its outrageous claims, its lack of even the slightest taint of human treachery, and the ripples it creates in history. And so 2,000 years ago, that Easter tomb was empty, and a handful of people least likely to become executives claimed to see a resurrected Jesus of Nazareth multiple times, alone and in groups, in various settings. Hope, without compromise, walked among them after having been nailed to a tree in a Roman execution. This hope was recognized by them for what it was, true and tangible and touchable. And the ripples in history and in lives began. Fast forward some 2,000 years, one little Glenn and one little Cindy, lives touched by the lives of others who had been touched by the lives of others, in a chain of love reaching back to that first Easter, met at a Bible study to marvel at that face. From that meeting came a marriage and children, among whom was our Brit. Without the resurrection so long ago and the hope engendered by it, so powerful a fuel that the earliest followers of Jesus sacrificed health, respectability, economic prospects, social standing, and often their very lives for this hope, without that resurrection, there would be no Brit. That Brit that touched each of our lives here today simply would not have been born without the reality of that event so long ago and the ripples in human lives that it caused through history. But it is that same resurrection which created her, which will bring us all together again once more in the future. And Brit had touched this God and celebrated aspects of this life through her life. From her conventional and traditional baptism as an elementary school kid to her philosophical understandings of the nature of good and evil, she interacted with our God. Often she would pray for me and tell me so on email. One email from when she was 17 thanked me, quote, for showing me the beauty of the Lord and answering all my questions, the peaceful reassurance you've given me all my life that through him I'll never have to face this entirely alone. At 19, she wrote this to me. I've been reading a book on viruses, and I always keep thinking about